Mighty God, we need you more than we ever understand. Yeah, we need your truth, and your word is truth. Pray for your daughter, Tina Warnock, this morning as she brings us the word of Almighty God. I pray just a real anointing, on her this morning, that her words would be your words, that the prep and the prayer and the planning that she's done is exactly what you wanted to say. Give her confidence in her communication this morning. Give us really good ears to hear, God. No matter where we are in our life, we need more of you. We need more of your truth. Help us to find a new excitement this morning in this whole topic of the Bible and understanding it and reading it. So help us to be real attentive, God. We want to learn more about who you are. We want to have more vibrant lives because they're more full of you than they are right now. And we call out to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and ask you to do that through Tina this morning, God. Speak powerfully to us through her. Yeah, pray a blessing on her. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Cool.
Awesome.
Shout, Tina.
Thank you. All right, I'll just get organised over here. Morena, hola, saudi ka, however you like to say it. Good morning this morning. Hey, so today we're going to carry on our Markers of Maturity series that started a couple of weeks ago, and thinking about some different aspects of what spiritual maturity looks like in different areas of life. And today we get to talk about and think about what it means to have a Bible-based life. So I'm not just going to be talking and teaching from the Bible, although I am going to do that as well, but also about the Bible and how that can be the foundation for how we live. And I'm pretty excited about that because I really love the Bible. And this book, I bought the book, it's God's gift for us, and it's his intention that it's meant to be life-changing when we read it. It's literally meant to blow our minds when we read what God has for us here in this book. I've discovered this wee little tip along the way that if you decide to use it, that I guarantee 100% it will make reading the Bible life-changing. And I'm not kidding, it does, it truly works. And I'm going to share that with you in a bit. Some of you may know it already, but if you don't, it's really simple. Okay, it's not hard. But I wonder how often you stop and think about how this book is God's word to us. This is God's words to us. This is God's words to us. Let that sink in. That's pretty amazing. I wonder, is it that to you personally? How is that evident in the way that you live your life? And do you stand on the truth that you find in this book? So I'm going to make a little bit of an assumption today, which is always a bit dangerous, but I'm going to, that you believe that this book is God's word to us. You know, there's lots of research and study and investigating that you can do to find out more about how this book, which is actually a collection of 66 mini books, came to be written and collected together and passed down to us. But ultimately, as Christians, we have faith that what God says in the Bible is his words, even when it talks about itself, and alongside that there's a whole lot of historical and scientific stuff that's been proven as well. So today what we're going to explore is that the Bible is direction for our lives, that it's all about Jesus, and that it is life-changing. So I don't know about you, but unfortunately for me it doesn't always feel that life-changing when I read it. Even though I love it, I can get into a rut where I'm just kind of reading it because I know that I should to get it done, but nothing really sinks in, or I'm kind of reading it to do that tick box thing that we've been talking about that we don't want to do. I like to read my Bible app, and I had a bit of a competition going a couple of years ago with the streak function that's in it, but I figured out that all you have to do is open the Bible app to keep the streak going, you know, if you're in a hurry, so I don't know that I grew too much on some of those days. And sometimes I just get out of the habit and I can go for a while without looking at it. And it's not very life-changing when that happens, I'm sure you can agree. But it is meant to be. Personally, I grew up in a family that always really valued the Bible, and the church was part of life. And I was taught pretty young two really key things, which I think are really important. One is that I had to make up my own mind whether I wanted to be a follower of Jesus. That's important. And two, that I needed to read the Bible for myself, that it's not enough to just listen to other people talk about it or talk from it. And it was my mum, actually, that really influenced me in my love for the Bible. It was mum that first got us kids books that we would read when we went to bed at night, and we'd read some verses and answer some questions. And from there, it just kind of grew with reading for myself and a great little high school Bible study group that really challenged us to read our Bibles and be questioning what we were reading. And at home, mum was the one that I would see studying her Bible and for herself and doing questions for the group that she met with. So I want to shout out to my mum today, because she's already said that she wants to listen to the podcast later. But leaving home and really owning my faith after high school, I think key things for me were always being in a church that valued and taught the Bible well. And also, for me, also doing some sort of Bible reading for myself as well. Sometimes that was being part of a group that would meet up and talk about it, but always some reading and study for myself. And one of our values here at CBC is that we value the living word of God. So all those things are important. I wonder if you realise that the Bible is a multi-tool. Do you know what a multi-tool is? One of those little tools that has lots of different things that it can do. And I know the Bible's a book, so it kind of doesn't look like it can be anything but a book, but it's actually a multi-tool as well. And it's a bit like my phone. I'm a bit attached to my phone, I have to say. My phone is a multi-tool. I do remember saying quite a few years ago now that I can't imagine ever cameras on our phones replacing having an extra camera to take the good photos and stuff, but I never take a photo on anything but my phone anymore. So I was really wrong about that one. But now my phone is also my diary, it's my email, it's my entertainment, it's my source of news, social media, so many things, so many tools here on my phone. But there are a few tools that I really love that are here on my phone. I love that my phone is also now my Bible. I do love my book Bible at home for making notes and highlighting and stuff like that, but I love that I can take this with me wherever I go. That's really great. But I also love the Maps app. Anybody else love the Map app on the phone? You know, some people have that inbuilt sense of direction and they can kind of get to where they're going just somehow, miraculously. Well, the Map app is for all the rest of us. I don't know if you like me. The other thing I really love on my phone is the torch. Do you ever use the torch? It's really bright. It's, I better make sure it's turned off. It's great to just pull out, and flick the light on when you just need it for a few minutes to get somewhere. And it solved that decades-long problem of, A, never being able to find a torch when you need one. And then, when you do find one, it's never going to have batteries that are working, right? So I love that my phone has a torch in it. So for me, my phone really is a multi-tool. And it turns out that the Bible is a bit like that too. So today I want to share with you just three sets of verses that tell us from the Bible a bit about what God intends the Bible to be for us. And then I want us to think about how that impacts us. And then finally I want to share with you a really super simple little method that I learned a few years ago that can make the Bible come alive. And the last step of that is my life-changing tip for you. So you'll have to wait for it. So these verses, they'll be really, really familiar to lots of you, but I hope that you might see them in a bit of a new light today. So open up your Bible or your app, however you like to look at it. And this is the first verse we're going to look at. It's from Psalm 119, verse 105. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. So Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." I'll read that again. "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So straight away, we can see that the Bible gives direction. We can read this and really quickly understand the picture of God's word being a lamp and a light that it illuminates, right? And if it's for my feet and for my path, then it shows me the way that I'm walking. So it's pretty clear that this is a word picture, saying that God's word shows us the path for our life that he wants for us, and therefore the way that we should live. So I spent a bit of time thinking about this verse and these metaphors of the light and showing us where to go. And I was thinking about how my feet are right here where I'm walking right now, right? And a path is the direction that I'm either heading towards or where I've been. It's more distant and big picture. So the lamp, well, it's a small handheld light, right? And I guess David, when he wrote this psalm, he pictured carrying a candle or a lantern or one of those handheld oil lamps with a wick and a single flame. Craig described that for us last week. Well, for us today, well, you know that I'm going to imagine using my torch on my phone, but maybe you still have batteries that work in your flashlight or something like that. So a lamp is a small light and it shows just enough brightness to see my feet and a little bit around me. The word light used in the second half of this verse for the path, it's different. It comes from a word that means to be bright, clear, like the daytime, like the sun rising at dawn. And it's referring to a big light that's all around, that's showing everything around you, including as far as you can see down a path. So I found that really interesting. An example of these small and big lights. Well, Simon was telling me about the Father Son camp, which my guys really enjoyed. Last weekend they turned up and it was already kind of quite dark and they had some of the tents had already been set up for them, which was really great. But at some point in the night, Simon needed to get from his tent to somewhere else. So he used his phone torch and made his way through the tents and the torch helped him not trip over all the ropes and stuff sticking out from the tents. Then in the morning, he said, he woke up, and when the sun had come up, he saw this amazing view out over Lake Tarawera that he couldn't see in the night and he wouldn't have seen with his torch. So, this shows the difference between the big and the small lights, both of which are in this verse. So God's word is like a small light that shows me right where I am now, and it's also like a big bright light that's all around showing me where I'm going. So the Bible can show me stuff in my life right now, right where I'm at, right, help me to take the next step forward in my life, in my thinking, and in my decisions. And God's word can also show me what's ahead if I stay on this track that I'm on, what might happen if I continue in this way. And that'll be really great if I can see that I'm on the right track and going to end up where I want to be, which for a maturing Christian should be in a closer and closer relationship with God, becoming more like Jesus, and living out the plans and purposes that God has for me amongst his people. You know, the Bible can also shed light on my life and show that the thoughts and words and actions that I'm choosing right now might be taking me down a path that's also not going to get me there. An example of how the Bible works like this, one of the verses we explored in our Philippians series a month or so ago said that if we're thinking about what is right and lovely and praiseworthy and true, then that will lead to peace. Well, on the other hand, Matthew 15 tells us that if we have evil thoughts, then these are eventually going to overflow into the words that come out of our mouths. So what we decide and think about in our minds, positive or negative, will at some point down the track have some other results in our lives, and those choices will take us in different paths. So I wonder, where is it that life is taking you right now? And what does the Bible have to say about that? Maybe today God wants to show you the light at the end of your dark tunnel. Or maybe he wants to show you that he walks beside you right now in the valley path. Or maybe he wants to show you that the view will be worth it if you just keep climbing this mountain. Or maybe that a new path is just around the corner. What does the Bible say to you today about where God would like you to be heading? And if you're not sure what it says, how will you find out? And I also wonder, if you're not looking to the Bible for direction for your life, where is it that you're getting your direction from? Is it just from yourself or from those around you, the media, social media? I don't know. So we find that the Bible gives direction. It's not a rule book, it's a guidebook. I wonder if it's your go-to guidebook today. I hope so. Okay, the second set of verses that I want to look at, might want to look them up. They're John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, plus verse 14. John 1, 1 to 5, verse 14. And they say, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Then verse 14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So from this, we see that the Bible is all about Jesus. These verses are really cool because they tell us that Jesus is the Word. So when we read God's Word, the Bible, we're reading about Jesus. The whole Bible tells the story of Jesus. These verses tell us that Jesus was there at creation. He was there in the beginning. They tell us that Jesus came and became human and lived on earth. And I love these verses too because they use the word picture of the light shining in the darkness. There's the light there again. It's like telling us that the word in Psalm 119 that will guide us and give us direction really is Jesus. And it's Jesus that will overcome the darkness. And it reminded me that in John 8:12, Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Funnily enough, the Bible app verse of the day today reminded me this morning that Jesus also said he's the way. So that's pretty cool. So Jesus is both the word and the light, which means he is the guide for the path, for the way, which again is him. It's really all about Jesus. And did you know that the whole Bible really is all about Jesus right from the beginning through to the end? And it's about God's plan to send Jesus to restore us into relationship with him. Now, the Bible, as it relates to Jesus, I know we think of the Bible as being in two parts, but as it relates to Jesus, it's actually in three parts. The first part is the Old Testament, and you may not have realised that the Old Testament is also all about Jesus. Jesus turns up almost immediately. In creation, in Genesis 1, we read that God said, let us make human beings in our likeness, in our image. Well, who is the us whose image we're made in? Well, God the Father is speaking, and we already know in Genesis 1, 2 that there's a spirit hovering there. But then just a couple of pages over, in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve have already messed up, God makes his first reference to someone else who's coming, one who would crush Satan's head and whose heel would be struck by Satan. And this coming one would be human too. And because we have the whole story, we know that this is the first mention by God of his plan to save humanity by sending his son, Jesus. The rest of the Old Testament, it's full of pictures and prophecies and systems and signs, all about the one who was to come, Messiah, saver of humanity, God's son, the one that we know as Jesus. We hear through Abraham the promise of one that would come to bless all of humanity. The whole temple and sacrificial system in the Old Testament, it's a picture of the ultimate sacrifice, of the perfect offering that would give us access to a personal, direct relationship with God. The prophets, they talked of one who would come and bring peace and change hearts and unite God's people. And he would rule all of Israel, but he would also be for people from every nation and tribe and language around the globe. The church was always meant to be multicultural. In fact, there are over 500 references to the coming of Jesus in the Old Testament. It really is all about him. The very last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, verse 2 of Malachi, of chapter 4, says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And guess what? The Son of Righteousness is spelt Sun, S-U-N. There's the light again. Righteousness, it can be simply explained by being in right relationship with God because no sin is getting in our way of our relationship with him. Romans 3:22 tells us that this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So our right relationship with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, S-O-N, Son. Jesus is the light and the Son of Righteousness talked about in Malachi. So the Old Testament points to Jesus coming. The next part of the Bible is the Gospels. And they tell the story of Jesus as a man, physically, when he was here on earth. The New Testament begins with Matthew, and the first words are, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. The Gospels are the story of all the highlights of what Jesus said and what he did and who he was. And they're recorded by four different people from four different perspectives. They all tell the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection and the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin is the perfect once-for-all-time sacrifice. And the good news is that because Jesus died, he offers us the gift of wiping our sin debt, so there's nothing in the way of us having a relationship with God. And if you don't know it yet for yourself, then this is what you need to find out more about in the Bible, because this is the most important part of the Bible. The Gospels end with the book of John saying, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So I'm kind of gutted that the Bible app wasn't around then, because then we'd have so many more stories about Jesus and what he said and what he did. So that's the first two parts. The third part of the story of Jesus starts in the book of Acts and runs right through to the end. And Acts tells us of what Jesus did in the world after his resurrection. When he'd returned to be with the Father, he gave the Holy Spirit, the church was born, and the good news spread. The rest of the Bible is letters and instructions to the churches and believers about the difference that Jesus makes now, how we should live in light of what Jesus did. It tells what is still to come and what Jesus is still to do. And these letters, they're really super relevant to us because we live in this time of the church and we are called to tell of Jesus and to live in light of all that he taught. The final book of the Bible is Revelation, and it describes Jesus in heaven as eyes blazing like fire, glowing feet, and his face shining like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. There's the light again. Some of the final words in the Bible are Jesus speaking in Revelation 22:20, when he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. That's Jesus speaking. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, is what it says. So we see that the Bible is all about Jesus. Jesus is the word that God has sent to us, and he came to save you and to give you life. The whole point of this book is so that you can know that. So my question for you, do you know this Jesus of the Bible? Do you have a relationship with him? And if your answer is no, well, you can today. Don't leave today without talking to someone about that. If you do know him, do you go looking for Jesus in the Bible? Do you listen for him? Do you listen to him as you read? And are you holding on to the hope and looking for the hope of his return? And what difference does that make in your life today? Okay, the third verses about the Bible are in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're going wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So this is where we see that the Bible is life-changing. So just a few things that I want to point out here from these verses. One, the Bible is from God, all of it. Each and every part, as it was originally given, is inspired and is therefore of value. Secondly, it's designed to be useful, to be beneficial to us. It's a positive input into our lives. It's really useful to know what is true and what is right. And next, it also corrects us. And you may be used to the NIV wording, which I also am more used to, which talks about scripture rebuking and correcting, which to me has always sounded kind of harsh and kind of negative. But I looked up the word rebuking, and it's translated from a word that comes from like an inner conviction kind of rebuke or approving something by a test, which I thought was really interesting. It is really useful to know when we're mistaken about something or have incorrect ideas, right? And then the last thing, why does the Bible teach and correct us? Well, it doesn't say to confine us or to control us. It's not about rules. These verses say it's so that God can make sure that we are prepared and equipped. What for? for every good work that God has for us. That sounds like a really good idea to be taught from. Okay, this part about the Bible correcting us, it kind of reminds me of my phone again, and especially that awesome map app on my phone. Because my map app has this calm, reassuring voice that directs me in the way that I should go. She gives me instructions about when to turn and what's coming up. I love that she gives me a bit of notice about what's coming up. But sometimes I miss a turn because I wasn't listening or I realised too late. And occasionally, very occasionally, I think that I might know a slightly better way to get where she's sending me. But you know what? She doesn't get mad at me, this map app lady. She just calmly tells me that I'm off track. She recalibrates her instructions and directs me so that I can get back on the right route for where my destination is. The app is inbuilt to know that there are going to be times when I'm going to go the wrong way. It's programmed to know that I'm going to mess up and will need to be directed back again, back to the right path. And that's like the Bible in some ways. The Bible's full of teachings on how to live life with God and to be in relationship with Him. It has many lessons for us to learn about how to care for one another, both in God's family and with others. God longs for us to live like that, and Jesus called it having life to the fullest or life in abundance. And we can have this kind of life even when outwardly life is shaky and uncertain and scary or feeling a bit out of control. We can still have that abundant life. But God also knows that while we're here on earth, there are going to be times when we're going to stuff up, that our choices are going to be challenged by wrong thinking, wrong actions, pressures, concerns, other people, and just often us trying to go our own way for our own purposes instead of God's. But there's always a way back. God has really simple instructions for when we lose our way. Stop, admit that we're on the wrong way, turn around and listen to Him for how to get back to living within His purposes. So we see that the Bible is life-changing. It's designed and inspired by God to set you free to be all that God created you to be. The Bible is God's heart, and it has the potential to transform us. Do you read it expecting that? Will you read it expecting that? I wonder what heart transformation you would love for God to do in you this year. Maybe your first step is just to ask God for a fresh expectation when you come to His Word. So now we know from these verses, we've seen that the Bible gives direction. It's all about Jesus and it's life-changing. Do you believe these truths and are you willing to live by them? What does it look like to live fully engaged in the truth of the Bible? How exciting would it be to come expectantly to God? To be hungry for what He has to show me today in the Bible, eager to read His Word, eager to understand what He has to say. What would it be like to be asking Him for direction and then stepping out in faith following it? What would it be like to long to know Jesus more and to be seeing Him and hearing His heart as you read the Bible? What would it be like to be excited enough about what I'm learning that it's changing me first from the inside and then out into my day? I wonder when you think about that, whether some of you maybe would like for 2020 to be a year when you actively step into engaging more with God through the Bible. The awesome news is that it's never too late. It doesn't have to be hard and it can be exciting. There are heaps of ways you can engage with the Bible. You can just start with a verse a day, or you can read a section or a story. You can work your way through a book. You can go over and over a story or a book or a chapter and keep seeing new things because the Bible's amazing with the layers that it has. You can start at the beginning and work your way through with a Bible in a year plan, or there are any number of plans out there. You can use the book and highlight and make notes and underline. Or you can use the app and there are heaps of plans on here. You can just start with the apps one verse a day. You can do word studies and topic studies. The options are endless. And I find that I really love changing it up what I'm doing from time to time. You know, some of you might actually hate reading. But that's okay. You might prefer to listen. These days, again, with our phones, they're such cool multi-tools, it's super easy to listen to the Bible. Most apps will have an audible function that's really easy to get it to read to you. And if you can absorb the Bible better that way, then it's a great way for God's word to be going into your mind. So there are many ways to learn from the Bible, but I'd like to suggest that one of the key ways when you read or listen to it for yourself is when you read or listen to it for yourself, because you can discover something for yourself. You can see and understand something new for yourself, and that will bring it alive. And the only way to do any of that is to be reading it for yourself. For example, just the stuff that I've learned about lamps and lights and the feet and the path from that one verse in Psalm 119 and connecting that with Jesus being the light and the way. That's going to stick with me now. You guys might have forgotten it by this afternoon, but that's treasure that I'm not going to be forgetting in a hurry. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be reminded of it next time I use the Torch app on my phone. So however and whatever you read or listen to in the Bible, how will you make it stick? How can you make that reading life-changing, even if it's a small amount, even if it's just a verse a day? Well, here's that super simple method that I said I'd share with you. There's heaps more that could be said about each step of this little method, but at the core it's really uncomplicated, so I'm just going to give you the basic outline of it. So say you're going to read something from the Bible, a chapter or a verse, it doesn't matter how much it is that you're reading. You read it and then you ask yourself three things. And the first thing you ask yourself is, what does it say? So you actually really need to read or listen to the words to get in your mind, what does it really say? Take the time to think about what the words are saying, what the words mean. Is there a picture? An instruction, a promise, what's going on in this verse or chapter? And you can ask yourself the classic who, what, when, where, how, why questions of the verse to make you think about what is it really saying. And it's amazing what else you'll see and what might jump out at you when you just slow down a bit and ask yourself, what is it really saying? So that's the first one. Secondly, you ask yourself, what does it mean? What does this verse tell me about God and his character? What does the verse tell me about human nature? Maybe it's telling me something about myself. And as you read the verse, of all the things that God could have chosen to put in the Bible, why did he put this bit? What is he trying to tell me? You know, there are a ton of resources and information out there to help you with figuring out what the Bible is saying, what it's meaning. There's commentaries and dictionaries and opinions and blogs and all that. So much information. And some of the Bible is tricky and we need help understanding it. And we do need to be careful how we approach it. So it is great to learn from other people that know more than us. But I would encourage you that mostly in your everyday reading of the Bible, that there's heaps and heaps that God can show you and reveal to you if you just have some simple ingredients of you, your Bible, some time, and some headspace to talk to God about what you're reading. Doesn't have to be complicated. So that's the second part. What does it say? What does it mean? Now here comes the life-changing question. Guaranteed, 100%, to change your life if you ask this. You ask, what do I do with this? Ask yourself, if what I've read tells me something about God or about myself, if there's a promise or instruction, what will I do with that? You know, I have a few choices, actually. I can think, yeah, that's nice, but I'm just going to do my own thing. Or I can decide to live in light of that truth and to trust it. And that might result in me changing my thinking. It might change the way I relate to God. It might change my interaction with others. It might just change how I see myself when I see a truth in the Bible. But genuinely asking God, what do I do with the truth you're showing me over time will change you and will have results in your life if you're prepared to listen to the answer that he shows you and put that into practice. I'm confident that if you ask this question, what do I do with this, that you are guaranteed to change. I know it's been true of me. And if you think about it, if you see or hear something in the Bible and ask, what do I do with this, and then decide to do nothing, or decide to do something different, then that will change you too. So if you ask that question, it is going to change you. The Bible even talks about this. In James 1, verses 22 to 24, it says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like." So this really is just a really super simple method that you can use as you read your Bible. Some of you may feel like, oh, that's a bit too basic, but it's amazing what you can get just from asking those three questions as you read your Bible with God. But if you did want to have a little bit more depth, there's a bookmark available at the end that just breaks down those three questions and has some extra questions that you can consider as you read and meditate on what you're reading in the Bible. It's not a tick box list to work through. It's just some extra thinking prompts as you consider those three questions. So feel free to grab one of those. They're on the table down the back if you're interested. So just to finish up now, there's so much more, right, that could be said about what the Bible is to us and why we should read it and how it can change us and its message to us. And today we really have only just skimmed the surface a little bit. But we have considered how the Bible gives us direction. It's all about Jesus and it's life-changing. So I wonder, what have these few verses that we've looked at said to you this morning? What do they mean for the way the Bible can be the basis for your life and direction and decisions and character? And most importantly, what will you do with that today? Do these verses make you a little bit more excited and inspired and encouraged to spend some extra time this week asking God to show you what he has for you in the Bible? I do really hope so. Who could support you in that? What resources fit for the way that you like to engage with the Bible? Where and when in your day and in your week will that work for you? And most importantly, will you read or listen to the Bible asking God to show you what he has for you today? And when you do, will you ask yourself before God, now what do I do with that? Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the gift that you have given us. Lord, I thank you that it's so accessible to us here in New Zealand. Lord, I thank you that you have written the words of your heart in that book, Lord God. And so I just pray as we go into this week, Lord, that we would treasure your word, Lord, and that it might come alive to each of us as we engage in it. In Jesus' name, amen.